Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning, talking Nico Iamaliava and the Vols. And to help us do that, we head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam, good morning. How are we doing?
I almost got out of spring practice with no drama. It was so close.
You made it right to the end, my friend, and then it just all came crashing down. So close. So, Adam, let's just start here. As I know this is a long, complicated process here, but as best you can, how did we get to this point? How did we go from Nico Iamaliava in spring practice and all, I guess, from the outside seemingly well, to a couple days later, he's gone and is no longer a member of the football program?
Well, I mean, we knew late in the season that there was already some pressure being placed on Tennessee. I don't know if it was before the playoff necessarily, but it was around that time. They wanted more money. I know the big number, $4 million, that's been put out there. I think it was something around there. They wanted that then. They tried to leverage the transfer portal. This is Nico's team. I wouldn't say Nico, but Nico's team. Nico's dad, really, and one other individual. They tried to apply pressure using the transfer portal as leverage back then. Tennessee didn't give in. I think there was a mixed message, too, because I think they wanted – Team Nico wanted more help at wide receiver, offensive line. But then also more money for Nico. And you have to think from Tennessee's perspective, you're thinking, well, do you want $1 million, $1.5 million more dollars? Or do you want us to spend $750,000 on a wide receiver or $500,000 on a couple of linemen? Like, which one do you want? And I think they wanted all of that. And then the portal came and went. Tennessee was never going to pay him, you know, the big number that he wanted. He bluffed till the end. I mean, I remember that at midnight of the – when Mike Matthews supposedly was going into the portal, I was sitting up at 2 in the morning just to make sure that Nico didn't go in, because we thought he probably was back in the winter portal. Didn't happen. Tennessee called his bluff, didn't go in. And then you sort of just get the same thing going again in the spring portal. Different schools, I think Team Nico – shopped him around quite a bit to get some leverage. But I think Tennessee sort of learned in time that some of the numbers that were being told back to them of what other schools would give Nico were very, very inflated. And that's the thing, is, you know, sometimes these collectives talk to each other, not in the moment, but at some point after that. And I think that's where things sort of got sideways. I mean, you know, if you go into your boss's office and say, this other company is offering me X number of dollars, and then your boss picks up the phone and calls that other company, that better be true what you're telling them. And I think that's sort of where things got sideways. And Tennessee thought, the market is not what this guy's saying the market is. And that helped them dig their heels in the sand a little bit. Where we go from here is a different story, because Robbie, I heard you saying earlier in the show that this narrative could change quickly, and I think it certainly could, depending on who Tennessee gets in the portal.
So, by the way, Sparks and I did not compare notes, but Team Nico, I think that's the correct, right? I mean, that's the correct way to put it, you know. I don't know all the conversations, but it's been pretty clear. Real quick before my actual question, Adam. Nick Iamaliava. Oh, my God. All of a sudden, he's out of the program, and I can't say the last name. Nick drives the bus. I mean, this is something that it's very and very clearly and very poorly, by the way, I might add. But I wanted to just – you mentioned, not sure about the playoffs. So we played earlier a clip from Josh Pate about – basically suggesting that this was a holdout to not play in the playoff game. Had you heard anything about like that?
I don't. Josh may know something that I don't. I listened to that. That was brought to my attention late last night within my own household.
Hey, Bev knows what's up out there, man. She knows what's going on.
Things are shouted down the hallway in statements as if it were fact. Nico held out of the playoff. No, honey. Let me listen to that. I listened to the clip and another clip. Josh made up something that I didn't. It sounded more like he was generalizing, like players like Nico, players that are seeking money above other things like Nico. I took that as more Josh lumping him in with an argument that he was making about these types of players in this environment in college football are producing these things. As far as Nico specifically holding out of the playoffs, I mean, there's some gray area in there. I don't think that was ever a thing. I do think they were pushing. They were already trying to start the negotiations during December when the team was getting ready for the playoff. I think a holdout though is an ultimatum, and I don't know that Nico ever made an ultimatum about the playoff.
So Adam, where does Josh Heupel and this program go from here at quarterback? Obviously, you've got two scholarship guys that are there, and that was the story of the spring game on Saturday, was watching those two guys, Merklinger and George McIntyre. But Heupel made it clear they're going in the portal once this thing opens up here. Do you think it's for a starter? Do you think it's to add depth? Where do you think Tennessee tries to go from here at quarterback?
I think from the fan base perspective, this is going to be sort of like when you're tracking a coach search, where everybody is like super excited when you hear the first wave of names, right? Avery Johnson, Sam Leavitt, these types. And then if you don't get those, then you go to the second tier and people sort of prop those guys up. Yeah, I watch film of so-and-so. Yeah, he's being wasted at the school he's at. When he comes here, he'll be awesome in Josh Heupel's offense. If you get to the third tier of guys, then it becomes, you know, then you start to get a little nervous. I mean, they're going to get somebody. I think the idea is for them to go get a starter. I mean, I asked a question in the presser the other day, and I used the language sort of giving Josh Heupel the chance to say whether or not he was getting somebody to compete with Jake Merklinger. They want Merklinger to stay. They want McIntyre to stay and be happy and all that. And so he did term it as, yeah, you know, we have two. So we kind of are forced to get a third quarterback because you don't want to go into a season with only two inexperienced quarterbacks. But I think they're definitely looking for a guy they think can start. I mean, the guy they would love to have is a guy who has 1 year of eligibility left or 1 year away from the draft. They can give them a couple $1 million, give them quite a big raise from wherever they're at and whatever they're getting where they're at now. And, you know, and then you can just go with 1 year and then reset a year from now. Whether they can get that guy or not, I don't know. I tend to think there's just as much of a chance that they get sort of a guy who can be your starter probably, but will definitely have to compete with Merklinger in the fall. I think we're probably, unless they get one of those names that I named off the top, I think you're probably looking at an August competition more than you are just, you know, just a ready-made starter to come in. But I could be wrong. I mean, money talks, and you can lure the right guy into the portal, then they're going to do that.
So, Adam, Josh Heupel, we were talking about earlier, might have been his best presser, his most revealing.
It was rehearsed. I'll say, Josh Heupel usually comes in and talks off the cuff. Josh Heupel had everything he wanted to say laid out, written out, rehearsed, thought through.
Well, he should do that more often then.
I know. I'm thinking the same thing.
But yeah, also,
but you did hear some of his anger, right? And yeah. I think it was in Gentry's question when he said, you know, Friday we didn't show up practice, like we're kind of done. I think people have to understand this perspective. Josh usually doesn't reveal much of himself, but you got to think Josh Heupel was a top level quarterback who, yeah, he was a Heisman runner-up but and national championship winner, but not long before that, he was a junior college player that Oklahoma wasn't even really sure if they wanted. And his whole reputation was, I'm a team guy. I manage an offense. I motivate guys. I put the team ahead of me. All these things are in his head about what a quarterback is supposed to be. And I think he looked at that, and not to mention a coach's son who followed the directions of his dad. And now you're dealing with a dad and a son quarterback who doesn't seem to be showing any of the values that he values. And I think that ticked him off quite a bit. And I think that was starting to come through a little bit in that presser.
So fans, you know, he gets off the bus, his huge wars, and it, like, there's this huge, yes, Josh, yo, stick it to him, and you, no one's bigger than the power T and all this stuff, right? But what about, you know, this team now on the field next year goes 6-6, 7-5, doesn't look good. They don't have an answer at quarterback. Like, how critical is this for Heupel? We figured this would be a critical year for him because it's like, okay, now Nico needs to mature and you need to take it to the next level. Obviously, that's not happening. Does he have more grace now because of all this? Or is it like once you get the product on the field, then quickly it can turn the other way on him?
He'll get some grace from some of the fan base, but it could turn. I mean, with Nico, I thought they were 8-4 to 10-2. I thought they were maybe a fringe playoff team. I didn't think they would make the playoff. 8-4 to 10-2. I think with Merklinger, they're a 6-6 to 8-4. So I think those they overlap at the 8-4 mark with another quarterback. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, if they go out and play pretty well and Merklinger or whoever the transfer is comes in and wins 8-9 games, he'll be given quite a bit of grace. And by the way, that's if Nico doesn't play lights out wherever he's going.
Yeah.
So Nico will be the villain in this for most people, that he derailed Tennessee's season and they made the most of it, and Josh Heupel did too. And look, Josh Heupel can still win 8-9 games with just a quarterback he throws in at the last minute, sort of like Hendon Hooker. But if this season goes south and they don't have an answer at quarterback and Nico plays pretty well somewhere else, or maybe even if he doesn't, and Mike Matthews doesn't get enough targets because the offense isn't going, and David Sanders isn't a star immediately, then the narrative is going to be, this Josh Heupel doesn't know how to pick 5 stars. You know, Mike Matthews it didn't pan out. Nico didn't pan out. They should have seen the character issues with the dad early on. David Sanders is not immediately awesome. You know, we got to rethink Josh Heupel on all this. If this season doesn't go well, that narrative will bubble up by September.
Adam, last thing for you here, real quickly. This is obviously, you know, the quarterback is going to be the headliner here. What about the rest of the roster? Do you expect, now that Nico is gone, for more guys to hit the portal in the spring? How do you view that part of it here?
Well, that's why they have to act quick and I think have to find the right quarterback because, you know, I mean, Mike Matthews in December, January was keeping one eye on Nico and one eye on the portal. And I think Mike Matthews went into the portal or at least got this paperwork to go into the portal because he thought Nico was going also. And there's probably a couple of the guys on the roster that could do that. It's a little late in the game for these guys, though. I mean, if you're a 5-star quarterback, you can still get a suitor, but a lot of these guys can't just go parachute into somewhere in April and expect for things to work out like they would at Tennessee, where they would have a starting job. I like this offensive line probably a little more than most. I think the defense is still going to be pretty good. Depending on if Jermaid McCoy gets back in time. I think this team is one, if you get the right quarterback and with that schedule, you can still have a similar season to what you could with Nico, but you've got to keep things together. And they got to go get a quarterback. I think they still need to get another wide receiver. With or without Nico, yep, they needed another wideout. And so, you know, best case scenario, they go and get a premier quarterback and bring his receiver along with him. But that's, I think that's probably pie in the sky.
Well, Adam, really good stuff, man. Busy weekend for you. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You as well. Adam Sparks,
Adam
from the Knoxville's News Sentinel, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. We got Corey Curtis coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll continue to break down the Nico and Tennessee stuff all show long. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.